Okay, we're starting Chumash Bamidbar. The truth is, last time, 7:26. In the blue one, yeah. Last time we just started a little bit. We didn't really get into it at all. So we're going to really start again from the beginning of Bamidbar. And Chumash Bamidbar is called in English the Book of Numbers, even though Bamidbar doesn't mean numbers. Bamidbar means a desert. But like we discussed last time, it's called the Book of Numbers. In fact, even the Ramban, another is called Chumash HaPkudim, which actually Taka means the Book of Numbers. It's called Bamidbar because one of the first words is Bamidbar. But it also brings out many aspects of the Midbar itself. The Jews traveled through the Midbar. The Torah was given in the Midbar. Thank you. Torah was given in the Midbar. The Jews had to travel through the Midbar. Midbar basically refers to a place which is free for all. There's no owner of a desert. It's a place, as the Pasuk itself says later on in Dvarim, that the desert that the Jews went through was full of Nachash, Sarah, Ve'akrov, snakes and scorpions and all dangerous things. So why was the Torah given in a Midbar? Why was the Torah given? Why did the Jews need to go as a preparation to go into Israel? Why did they need to go through a Midbar? Because the purpose is for a Jew. By Torah, there's two things. Number one, the Medrash says, why was Torah given in the Midbar? To show that Torah is for everybody. Desert, there's nobody that owns it. It means it's everybody's. It's open to the public. When it comes to learning Torah, it's actually open to the public. Another reason why Hashem gave the Torah in the Midbar, and what Hashem wants from a Jew traveling through the Midbar, is to transform desert, which symbolizes when nothing grows. In other words, you have city, which is civilized, inhabited. Then you have a field, which people don't live in, but things grow there that support people. Then the lowest level, you have the concept of a midbar, of a desert where nothing grows. The purpose is for a Jew to transform the midbar, to transform the desert into a holy place. So that's why it's the concept of Bamidbar. Now the Me'am Leyes brings down a very interesting thing. He says like this, there are five types, he brings it down from the Klei Yokar earlier in Chumash. And he says, there's five types of karbanos. There's five types of sacrifices that we learned about in Chumash Vayikra. One is an Eilah, okay, which is a burnt offering, completely burnt. Then you have a Mincha, which is a flower offering. Then you have a Chatos, a sin offering for accidental sins. Then you have an Asham, which is for intentional sins. And then you have a Karban Shlamim, a peace offering. So therefore, he says like this, whoever learned Chumash Bereishis is like they brought a Karban Ola, a burnt offering. Whoever occupies themselves in Shmais is like they brought a flower offering. Whoever learns Vayikra is like they brought a sin offering. Whoever learns Bamidbar is like they brought a sin offering. And whoever does learns Dvarim, it's like they brought a Karban Shlamim.
Okay.
Huh? Carbon Ela, burnt offering. So it means is that a person when a person learns Torah, they become close to God. What's a carbon? Carbon means you become close to Hashem. Carbon comes to the word karov. Karov means close. When a person does a mitzvah, they become close to God. When a person learns Torah, they become close to God. There are various different ways of becoming close to God. You can have a carbon that's completely burnt. Then you can have a carbon that sometimes you eat it, some parts you eat, some parts the Kohanim eat. Certain sacrifices the owners don't eat, just the Kohanim eat. There are different relationships that a person learns. They create a certain relationship with Hashem. He doesn't elaborate exactly the connection between each carbon, that Chumash. But nevertheless, there is a connection between sacrifices and sacrifices and learning Torah. Okay, so let's just start the pasuk, and we'll get more into the introductions and so on. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai. Hashem spoke to Moshe in midbar Sinai, and Rabbeinu Bachaya says that we find Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in different places. First time Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu was in a burning bush, the Sneb. Second time Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk says, was in Midyan. When Hashem told Moshe, when he was in Midyan, in his father-in-law Yisro's house, go back to Egypt because the people that wanted to hurt you are not there. Then Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in Egypt. Then Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And the fifth place Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu is what this pasuk says in Oyel Mayid. And he says like this, when God gave the Torah in Har Sinai, that was the place, okay, that Hashem spoke to the Jewish people, to Moshe Rabbeinu. But that left. Like we said, after Hashem left Har Sinai, the mountain was not holy anymore, it was open, everybody could go up to Har Sinai. It never retained the holiness of Matan Torah. The Oyel Mayid, though, was for the 40 years in the desert. Where did Hashem speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from? From the Oyel Mayid. Because Har Sinai was over, because the giving of the Torah was over, Hashem said, I need a place where I could live. Like this, Hashem came down on Har Sinai. But that's over. So Hashem said, I need a place where I can live to communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the Oyel Mayid. And the Rabbeinu Bachaya said just an interesting thing. The Oyel Mayid was for the longest period of time, for 40 years. Because that was like, as he calls it, the expression called Kvuda Bas Melech Pnima. That was a quiet place where nobody else was. The Sneh was in the desert, it was open to everybody. Midian was a country, Egypt was a country. Where did Hashem find a closed area of modesty that he could speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from? Was an Oyel Mayid. And therefore that's, so to speak, the ultimate level of Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu where? B'midbar Sinai, in the desert of Sinai, Ba'el Mayid, in the Oyel Mayid, which was the inner part of the Mishkan, when Be'echad L'Chedesh Hasheni, on the first day of the second month, meaning the first day of Iyar, Ba'ashana Hasheni is in the second year, L'Tzeisa Me'edit Mitzrayim Lema, when they left Egypt. Why does the Torah go into all these details? It's funny. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu where? In a desert. In Oyel Mayid, on the first day of the second month, you know, it's a whole Megillah. This again, the Mefarshim explain, shows the love that Hashem has to the Jews and especially to Moshe Rabbeinu. When you love something, you go into all the details of it, the nitty gritty of it. When you don't like something, you just pass it through quickly. When you enjoy something, you go through the nitty-gritty. Hashem enjoyed speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem enjoyed, as we assume, the purpose of counting the Jewish people was to be able, because Hashem loved the Jewish people. The Koyok asks a very simple question, an interesting question. At the beginning of the book of Vayikra, it says, Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says, Mei Oyel Mayid, from the Oyel Mayid. Not in the Oyel Mayid. Says at the beginning of Vayikra, Hashem called Moshe, Mei Oyel Mayid, from the tent. Here it says, Hashem spoke to Moshe, Be Oyel Mayid, in the tent. So what's the difference? Why over there does it say, from the tent? And so yes, very simple. The pasuk over there says that the Shekhinah permeated the entire Oyel Mayid. And the pasuk at the end of Shmo says, "V'le'yachol Moshe lavay el Oyel Mayid." Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to go into the Oyel Mayid because God's essence permeated the whole thing. So Hashem had to call him, but Moshe Rabbeinu then couldn't go in because it was full of God. So if it was full of godliness, there was no room for Moshe Rabbeinu. Here already, Hashem already made the place for Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from in and from the Oyel Mayid. So that's why he says, "Be Oyel Mayid," in the Oyel Mayid, rather than from the Oyel Mayid. Now, another pasuk, the Mefarshim ask, have a contradiction, because one pasuk says Hashem spoke to him from the oil maid. Another pasuk says Hashem spoke to him from the two, in between the two kruvim, which were on top of the ark. So it says that the voice came out from in between the kruvim. That's where he heard the origin of the voice. And then it came into the oil maid. So this is where Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, an oil maid. What did he tell him? Su'u esreish kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Count literally means to pick up. It means count the heads of the Jewish people. The mishpacheisam leveisaveisam, for their families, to the father's house. The mishpachemis in the number of people names. Kol zochel legugleisam, all the male. Basically, this was for the army purposes, as we'll soon learn. So therefore, as the pasuk is going to continue, they counted now the male Jews from the age of 20 up. From 20 to 50. That was the age of the army. But all the males went to the army. Therefore they were counted. Now Rashi says, and some people disagree with Rashi over here, Rashi says, why in the world is Hashem counting the Jewish people? He just counted them. And after the Egel, Hashem counted the Jews. Ki sisas reish b'nei Yisrael. Right? He counted them. Why is he counting them again? So Rashi says he loves them so much, he counts them all time. One is when they left Egypt, they counted the Jews 600,000. When they, after the eagle, after the golden calf, when there was a plague, an epidemic, and a lot of Jews died, Hashem said, count again. And now also, when he came to put the Shekhinah on them again, and Rosh Chodesh Nissen, and then when after the Mishkan was put up, then he counted the Jews again. So Rashi says, why did Hashem count the Jewish people? Because he loved them so much. And as everybody knows, something you love, you keep counting. Everybody keeps counting money. Because you love your money, you keep counting money. And when kids have candies, they'll keep counting the candies. Exactly how many, to make sure that no disappeared, nothing. This is the nature of people. Something
that if the counting something is not good, like a word or something.
Counting money is no good.
No, it's not good.
It's good to give money, not to count money.
To count it, you know, some people they don't like to count it because they see
there is
counting people.
Bechlau, this whole thing. Okay, you're mentioning a very good point, because the Gemara says, Ein habracha sheira ela adover asomu mino ayin. Like you say, like the pasuk says in this, not in this pasuk, in Vayichi, which we're going to read, v'yidgu l'reiv, they should multiply like fish. Says fish multiply a lot. I said in this week's pasuk. Why do fish multiply? Because you can't see the fish; they're hidden. Things that a bracha comes from something hidden from the eye. Because when you count things openly, it causes a ayin hara. It causes an ayin hara. So that's one question over here that we need to count, to ask. Another thing which we...
I'm sorry, you quoted something before that.
Ein bracha sheira ela davar, it's a gemara. A bracha can only rest on something hidden from the eye. So that's what the gemara says. If you want to daven that your barn should be full of food, your silo, daven before you go to count. Because once you count already, it is what it is.
That's why you have to hide your money, or what?
Only from your kids. Otherwise, they borrow it indefinitely. No, they say, I'm just yashining, I'm inheriting early, that's all. They don't want the parent to die. It's a live long, just give me the money, that's all. But there's a lot of other questions that don't make sense. Number one, Hashem doesn't know how many Jews there are.
He knows that.
So what does he need to count them for?
Why do you need it?
And not only that, Rashi says a very interesting expression. The first Rashi says, listen to Rashi's expression, Mitechi basan lefanav, because the Jews love him so much, Meina esem kolsha. Kolsha means constantly, every hour, meaning Kol Shor is an expression in Hebrew, means Hashem is constantly counting them. And then Rashi right away says no. He counted them when they left Egypt and by the eagle. The Medrash says, by the way, throughout history, the Jews were counted. Not talking about the Israeli census. The Torah census of the Jewish people happened 9 times throughout history. And the Medrash says exactly, they bring them, pushing down exactly which the 9 are. And the 10th counting, Mashiach is going to count. So the question is, Rashi says, Kosha, he's constant counting them constantly. And then Rashi himself says, no, this time and this time and this time. And first of all, and then another thing is, Hashem's not counting them. Hashem's telling Moshe Rabbeinu to count the Jews. So what does it mean Hashem's counting? Hashem's not counting. Moshe Rabbeinu is counting. This whole counting bit is very difficult to understand. And then there's another argument here. Rashi learns that every time Hashem counted the Jews, there was a half a shekel. How did he count the Jew? Every time he counted, the Jews gave a half a shekel, because you're not allowed to count people, right? Like even by a minyan, you don't say 1, 2, 3. You can't use the pasuk or whatever. So it says, Rashi says clearly, how did he count them? With the machzis a shekel. The Klal Yoker argues in Rashi, and he says it's not true. They didn't have to count with a half a shekel. Why not? He says, when is there ayin hara that can hurt the Jewish people by counting, the evil eye as it's called, is only when there's a drastic change in numbers. And he says, the Jews came down to Egypt, 70 people. Yeah? Last week's parsha, 70. Yeah? They left Egypt, 600,000 men between 20 and 60. Okay? Here was 20 to 50. 20 to 60 was 600,000 men. If you count women and children and senior citizens and kids, there are over between 2 and 3 million Jews that left Egypt. To go from 70 to 2 million in 200 years, that's a radical change. So the Klal Yoker says, over there Hashem said, count with a half a shekel. Because over there you can have ayin hara. But otherwise, in fact, the Mefarshim is going to ask, this counting is the same counting almost that they counted last time. And they say it can't be that nobody hit 20. In a year, nobody hit 20 to be able to say the same amount. And the answer, we'll see more details later. The first time, the amount was including the tribe of Levi. This now is without Levi. So even though it's more or less the same numbers, but it wasn't that the Jews didn't grow. There were a lot of Jews. Last time Levi was part of the count, this time they're not part of the count. So the difference is basically the people that hit 20.
Moshe Rabbeinu believed in Ayin Hara?
Hashem believed in Ayin Hara.
Hashem?
Yeah.
He made it and he believed in it.
Hashem, there is a concept in Yiddishkeit called Ayin Hara. Right? There is such a concept. The Gemara talks about it.
So the question I have is that it's...
And do we have to believe in
it? You don't have to believe in anything. The only thing a person has to do is die and pay taxes. Right. If you're rich, you don't pay tax.
What do we do about that, Rabbi? Like sacrifices, what do you do?
Okay. I don't want to get off and tangent over here. But in a nutshell, what is the concept of Ayin Hara? First of all, there's a way of undoing Ayin Hara.
What?
Okay. There is. I once saw an explanation of what is this concept Ayin Hara. Like, what does it mean? I mentioned it in this class. So I saw once the most logical explanation that I personally have seen of Ayin Hara makes a lot of sense. To give an example, you live in the city. Yeah, and you do things that are not up to code. And you do things in your house that you're really not supposed to be doing. As long as nobody complains, the city will let you get away with it. Once somebody complains, then they can't let you get away with it anymore. I mean, after all, you broke codes. That's the way it works. You know, even in school, whatever it is, people do things, it's not right, wrong, but as long as nobody complains, you get away with it. Somebody complains, then the teacher has to say, no, then that's right, you know, the person was wrong. Sometimes, Hashem gives a person more than they deserve. Hashem gives a person more than they deserve. As long as nobody complains, Hashem said, let him have it. I don't let him have it. Once somebody complains, why are they getting it, not me, I'm better than them? Then Hashem said, okay, now we got to think about it. What's Ayin Hara? Ayin Hara is an evil eye. Why do you have this? Why do you have that? That means you start complaining. Yeah? Once you start complaining, Hashem has to deal with it. It makes a bunch of simple sense.
If they're going by code, it's complaining.
But whatever Hashem gives us is beyond, above and beyond code. Whatever Hashem gives us is chesed. So now, how do you undo a hurdle? One way is by not believing in it. Basically, don't care about it. And there are, from the older generation, there are women that in Russia was called Absprechen Ayin Hara. Absprechen Ayin Hara means,
On their own kids.
No, Absprechen Ayin Hara is, well, that's why you always say Bli Ayin Hara, Ken Hara in Yiddish, Bli Ayin Hara. But there are people that they take an object of yours and they do, I don't know what they do, they do it in private. They do it in private and it works. They take off Ayin Hara. One of Mendel's wife's grandmother used to do it.
That is from the rabbi. Special ladies, they do that?
Yeah, it's a special thing. You're taught and it's a special thing and I don't know what it is.
Isn't it better just not to arouse Ayin Hara?
The best thing is not to arouse Ayin Hara, and the best thing is just to behave and be good. Okay, anyway, but that's bad. Let's go back over here. So Rashi learns that they always counted the Jews with Machzitz HaShekel. The Tlayokar says no. It's only when it went from one extreme, from 70 to 6 to 2 million, that's when they counted the Jews with the Machzitz HaShekel. Otherwise, there was no need to have to count Machzitz HaShekel.
Yeah, if Ayin Hara exists, by the way, how can you just dismiss it? How can you just pretend it doesn't exist?
Because it says in Gemara about certain things. Certain things only matter if you care about it.
Doesn't the Rambam or somebody say, for instance, certain things don't exist. If you don't believe in it, then it doesn't exist. Right?
I don't know if the Rambam says it, but
the
Rambam, very interesting. The Rambam learns in Hilchos Aveidah Zarah. The Rambam says that all witchcraft is Baba Mises, it's fake, it's not true, it's stupidity, only fools believe in it, and all the other Rishonim contemporaries of the Rambam say, what are you talking about? The Gemara talks about it. It says Avram gave the Pnei Keturah, he gave him Kishif. The Torah speaks about, no, in Egypt, the Chatumim Mitzrayim are doing magic. And they said, what do you mean? And it's a difficult thing with the Rambam. How do you explain the Rambam? But that's not definitely not for now. Let's leave Ayin Hara out. Just don't believe in it. And don't give one. So he says like this. Count the heads of the Jewish... So again, we're discussing how can Rashi say Hashem constantly counts if they only counted a few times? Number one. What is the purpose of counting if Hashem knows what they are? So last week we discussed a little bit that one of the reasons it says why the Mefarshim say why Hashem counts the Jews, besides the fact it shows His love. In other words, and that, by the way, the Rebbe explains what does Rashi mean when he says Kol Shah, that Hashem Taka is always counting the Jewish people. He only told the Jews to be counted, that Moshe Rabbeinu should count the Jews a few times, but Hashem Himself, because He loves the Jews so much, Hashem is really always counting the Jews. Always, Kol Shah, constantly. It's Hashem told them, the Jews to count Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever it was, that was only in certain situations. But why did Hashem count the Jews? Because there's a rule, and we mentioned this, that the Goyim could come with a complaint, that the Torah says, you have to follow the majority. The Torah says, you follow the majority. Majority rules. So, the question is, if the Jews are 15 million out of 6 billion. I mean, whatever the proportion is, it's a very small proportion. They control a lot of the money, they control a lot of the brains, they control a lot of other things. But number-wise, number-wise, the Jews are very, very few. Okay? One of the smallest religions, number-wise. I mean, all them more, I mean, everybody is much more. I'm not talking about the Christians and the Muslims. And then you're talking billions, or the Buddhists, or whatever. But I'm saying even amongst the civilized religions, Jews are from the fewest. Because there's a din that something which is counted, davar shebeminyan lo yibatel. Something which is counted halachically never becomes nullified. Something which is sold by count never becomes nullified. Even in 1,000, in 1,000,000, it never becomes nullified. Right. Why? Because something you count, the counting makes it important. And what, once it's important, the rule is something which is choshuv, prominent, can never become nullified. And that's why Hashem wanted the Jews to be counted. There's a story of Yenison Apeshitz, who was very brilliant. He wrote a lot of Sforim in Halacha, but he was very brilliant. Even as a kid, he was just brilliant. And the Polish noble enjoyed speaking to him because the kid was brilliant. I mean, talk about the kid, 8 years old, 9 years old, he would just enjoy speaking to him. One day he calls him in, this Polish noble, a very prominent Polish noble, calls him in and says, his name is Yonason. He says, Yonason, according to your religion, you have to become a goy. According to your own religion, you need to become a goy. He says, why? He says, because Torah says you have to follow the majority. Your own Torah says you have to follow the majority. The majority of people in the world are goyim. You have to be a goy. So without any hesitation, this 8-year-old kid said to him, you don't know what you're talking about. When is there a law of following the majority is when you're in doubt. When you're in doubt. Yeah. Is it this way or this way? Yeah. So the law is you follow the majority. Uh-huh. When you for instance, a classic example. There are 9 stores selling kosher meat. 1 store selling trefa meat. On a block. And you find a piece of meat outside the stores. And you don't know which store it came from. So Halacha says it's a doubt. So Halacha says if the majority of stores are kosher, the meat's kosher. Okay, but that means when you're in doubt. But if I know for sure the meat is treif, you can't say follow the majority. Or if I know for sure the meat's kosher, he says, I don't have any doubts whether I'm Jewish or not. But Hashem does it because he wants to show, the Mefarshim explain, that he wants to show, he make the Jews important by counting them, and therefore they never ever become nullified.
In this case, maybe the boy did not have a doubt, he was certain, but the Goyish Polish nobleman, he did not have doubt that the Goyim are...
Yeah, but he asked him that he has to become a Goy, so why should I become a Goy? Another interesting thing the Pasuk says over here is the Mishpachaisim Levesa Vesam. So Rashi says, what does this mean? That if the father came from one tribe, and the mother came from another tribe, like we know today, if your father's a Kohen, you're a Kohen. If your mother's a Kohen, that doesn't make you a Kohen, right? The tribes follow the father. And this is what we say. Okay? To the father's house, clearly. So Rashi says that if the father is from one tribe, the mother is from another tribe, what tribe do you belong to? You belong to the father's tribe. Which is a very interesting thing. We find 2 aspects in Yiddishkeit. If you're Jewish or not, it's up to the mother. What type of Jew you are, meaning Kohen, Levi, Reuven, Shimon, you know, that's up to the father. Why is there that concept? Whether you're Jewish or not, that comes from the mother. If your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish or not, not. And, so to speak, what type of Jew, from what tribe, that goes by the father. Why is it like that? So explanation is very simple. In the creation of the baby, of the person, who gives birth to him? The mother. Who reveals that ability in the mother to create a baby? That's the father. Right? Through intimacy, It says in Sfarim, the mother really has the ability to create. That's why she's the one that has the baby. The father, through intimacy, has actually reveals that ability in the mother to create the baby. So therefore, if you look at just the child's birth, the essence of the child comes from the mother. The revelation of the child, that comes from the father. Whether you're Jewish or not, that's the essence of the person. What tribe you come from, that's, so to speak, the revelation. You know, you're a Jew, that's your essence. Whether you're a Reuven Jew, Shimon Jew, Levi Jew, Yehuda Jew, that already is up to the father, because he's the one that does that in the childbearing. He's the one that reveals the ability. So therefore, that follows the father. But what your essence is, that follows the mother.
Muslim is the reverse of this.
Exactly. Not only by Goyim also, not only by Muslims. By the Christians, the religion follows the father.
So then the soul of Sarah that they say is coming through, is that also related or is not related?
The soul of Sarah.
Like, for instance, they say that the reason that a person is considered Jewish from the mother is connected to the soul of Sarah and not, for instance, to Abraham.
I don't know what it means.
It's a Jew.
No, the reference is the mother Jewish, the kid's Jewish.
It's a Jew because Sarah is a Jew.
Yeah, but...
Right, but they're talking about with tangible references in the aspect of when Abraham was with Hagar versus with Sarah. So Hagar's children were not born Jewish, whereas Sarah's were.
Right.
So when you're looking at more tangible or...
Yeah, but not today is because of Sarah. No, it's just because of the mother. But anyway, that also was only after Matan Torah. That religion follows the mother really was after Matan Torah. What made Sarah Jewish? Her mother wasn't Jewish. Mrs. Tanakh wasn't Jewish either. What made Avraham Jewish?
He converted.
Before Matan Torah, what made a person a Jew was the acceptance of God. What made Rachel and Leah Jewish? Or Rivka Jewish, I mean, they grew up in Lovin's house, but so, you know, what Jewish were there? Before Matan Torah, it was Talmud. I mean, all these great people, it was basically the acceptance of God. It wasn't a real. Matan Torah was a massive conversion of the Jewish people. A lot of laws of conversion we learn out from Matan Torah. Because Matan Torah was the mass conversion of the Jewish people. And the souls of all the future Gaidim were present in Matan Torah, whatever, but it's. Okay, now, the question is, another thing the Mefarshim ask, it says, Su'u esreish kol adaz b'nei Yisrael. Literally means pick up, but it means count. Okay, why does it say this concept of picking up? It should be say, pekeid, in Hebrew, counting means pekeid. Okay, so last week we covered this a little bit, that the concept is, when you count, you actually elevate the head. You actually pick up the head when you count somebody. What does this mean? Their heads.
Okay.
When a Jew is counted, his head becomes elevated. Okay. What does that mean? You don't pull him up. What it means is, it's a very deep concept over here, by the way. I mean, it's understood, but it's an essential concept of Yiddishkeit. What makes counting unique when you count people? Moshe Rabbeinu was only one Jew, and the biggest Rasha was not less than one Jew. Okay? When you count, everybody is equal. And this is the thing Chassidus explains, the Rebbe explains, why Hashem wanted to count the Jewish people so much. Why does Hashem count the Jews? Kol Shor, Hashem's counting. Like, what does his counting do? When you count everybody, when you count people, nobody's counted for more than one, nobody's counted less than one. Which means every Jew is equal. Which part of every Jew is equal? Not their intellect, because no two people have the same type of head. No two people think alike. No two people are as intelligent as each other. Okay? Mar says, ain't the same shavus, ain't per tsefeim shavus. No two people look alike, no two people think alike. Two people are, there's no such connection, right? What makes everybody the same? The essence of the Jew. The Pinta Liyid, the Nukudat Hayadut, the essence of the Jew, that is the only thing that unites all Jews together. You're talking about the intellect, the feelings, the emotions. No two people are the same. Okay?
But they all matter,
but when you say the concept Afo Pi Shechote Yisrael, even a Jew who sins is a Jew, you're not talking about his behavior. His behavior might not be Jewish. He might be sinning. What's Jewish of him? His essence. The essence of the person is what's Jewish. Okay? That essence, meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, the essence that he's a Jew, that point that he's a Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu is not more Jew, and the other Rosh is not less Jew. Okay, everybody's the same. The head symbolizes understanding. What's above the intellect? Acceptance of the yoke. Godliness. Okay? Elevating the head means when you count a Jew, what you're actually revealing within every single Jew is their essence that makes everybody the same. That's the essential concept of counting. It's not only for Hashem to know how many people. It's not only that the Jews shouldn't become nullified amongst all the other nations of the world. The concept of counting means revealing that the Jew is a Jew because he's a Jew, and therefore nobody is more than one and nobody is less than one. That concept is not only counting the Jews, but it's elevating their head to the level of the essence. To elevate their intellect and emotions to a level of the essence. That's what counting accomplishes. And therefore, when Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to count the Jews, he's using the expression, Su'u Esreish Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, elevate the head, because now we're showing the real greatness of the Jew, that their essence is a Jew. And that respect, everybody's the same. And that level is what Rashi is saying, that Hashem is counting the Jews continuously. What does it mean, continuously? Hashem is always dealing with the essence of the Jew. Because Hashem doesn't need to count us every minute. He knows how many we are. It means Hashem is revealing the essence of the Jew, which elevates the intellect of the Jew and the emotions of the Jew to the essence of the Jew. And that's why the Torah uses the word Se'um.
You said you need to
what?
Obey the God. What do you mean?
And if you don't obey God, you're not Jewish?
No. What do you mean? What do you mean? Essence of God. Reveal the essence of God. What do you mean?
The essence of God.
The essence of the
Jew.
What do you mean? The
Pintali, the Nukudat Hayadut. The essence.
What do you mean?
What's the essence?
Essence of God.
I say this in Farsi.
I understand that this is the.
The essence of the Jew. The Pintali.
Essence.
Yeah, sounds like a Hebrew is speaking English. No. Are you more Jewish than Moshe Rabbeinu?
No.
Are you less Jewish?
No.
No.
So.
What makes you the same as Moshe Rabbeinu?
Only put my name as Jew.
Not putting your name as Jew. I'll tell you a little secret. No, I'll tell you a little secret. Even if you don't even know you're Jewish. Even if you don't know you're Jewish, that doesn't mean that you're not Jewish. You can have a person, we mentioned this many times, there are many people today you meet in the street during the 60s and 70s, and they just find out that the mother's mother's mother was Jewish somewhere, you know? That means their whole life they're living like a guy. Right? Trust me, there are people out there in the world today, in the Midwest and who knows where, yeah? They are born in their mind Goyim, they're raised Goyim, they die as Goyim, and the truth is they're a Jew. That Jew is also not any less Jewish than Moshe Rabbeinu.
Some of them are skinheads.
They're also Jewish.
I just saw that.
They're also Jewish. That makes you and Moshe Rabbeinu the same. That thing that we have in us, that I am Jewish, the neshama, that is the same with everybody. There's no difference between one Jew and the next. And that is what counting actually accomplishes. Counting accomplishes that the Jews become elevated to a higher level. And again, here Rashi says, again, it was through actually counting the Jews with their half a shekel. There's an interesting Rabbeinu Bechai over here. Rabbeinu Bechai says that, he says, what's the connection between this psukim and the end of Vayikra? At the end of Vayikra, we are talking that you're not allowed to exchange a carbon, and if you do, yeah, it all both become holy. Because so he says, what is the connection to Bamidbar? He says, Hashem tells the Jewish people, he says like this, just like God is holy and there's no exchange of God, Hashem tells the Jewish people, you are holy and there's no exchange for you either. The Gemara is a very interesting expression, La'achlifam bu'umma acheres I efshar. To exchange the Jews for another nation is impossible. It's impossible to happen. So therefore, that's the whole thing of counting and, okay. Some of Farshim learn that the reason why Hashem is talking about counting now because they have to realize that to get the army going, they have to fight Sichon and Og, and they have to fight the various battles. So Hashem needed to know, you know, how many guys are going to the army, so to speak. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. No, I'm sorry, Pasuk Gimel. Miben Esrim Shana V'mayla, from the age of 20 and upwards, Koyetu Tzavah B'Yisrael, all those who go army, and Rashi says from here, learn that the people do not go to the army less than 20 years old. Tifkadu Esrim, you should count them, Letziv Esrim, for each man according to his legion, Atav Aaron, you and Aaron.
Based on what you said, why they only started 20? Why don't they just count everybody?
Rashi says because they needed to know for the army. Otherwise, there was a concept of, for the Korbanos, the obligation of the Korbanos was from the age of 20. That's why only 20 participated in the half a shekel.
Hashem is doing as a leader of going to army?
Hashem's
when
the leader.
You are leader to go to war, you're counting or something.
Yeah.
That's doing like
that's what some of us should learn. That the counting over here was actually for Hashem to get the army ready.
As a leader.
Hashem, listen, Hashem yilachim lachem, right? Hashem is the general.
But based on everything you said.
I mean, the Jews are called Sivis Hashem. Sivis Hashem means the army of Hashem.
Based on everything we were talking about.
Yeah.
The question is, where do we find, and forgive me for ignorance, but where do we find in the Torah that there everybody's counted from babies to old people?
The only tribe that was counted once from babies was Shevet Levi.
Okay. So that's the case, then how does the...
Because 20 is when they become responsible.
The idea was to count what you love. This one case is we're talking about a demographic.
The kids God loves automatically. It's the adults he has a problem with.
Okay, but we don't have the women here also. We have the women...
The women God always loves.
Okay, but if, I mean, we're talking about...
There are different things. Why the age of 20 had to do with the malachim, also the Klei Yoker explains, the 22,000 malachim that Hashem came with at Matan Torah. But basically, in the other people didn't need to be counted because of their own unique greatness that they didn't need. They didn't need it.
Is that because it was an underage type of thing?
Yeah, it was underage, and there wasn't anything to... Here the purpose was physically... I just mentioned this the other day. Last week's Parsha, okay, to show you how it works. How even under 20 are counted. The Jews came down to Mitzrayim, I mentioned the Shabbos afternoon. The Jews came down to Mitzrayim, how many? 70. So Rashi says if you count there's only 69. So who was the 70th? Yocheved, who was born in the walls going into Egypt. Okay? That means when the Jews came into Egypt, she was the 70th. How old was she?
Brand new.
A few hours. Yeah? Yet, not only was she counted, she made up 70. The 70, it says in Kabbalah, corresponds with the 70 nations of the world, to counteract the 70 nations of the world. 70 is a complete number of the seven midas, each one composed of 10. Okay? Who was the one that made the complete totality of the Jewish people of 70 was a baby a day old. A girl. In other words, all the non-countables, a girl, a baby, yeah, she was the one that made up number 70. So you see that it wasn't that they didn't have the concept of counting. She made up 70. She made dominion, you know. A baby a few hours old. Okay. V'itchem yihyu, and with you it should be, ish ish lamata, each man to his own tribe, ish reish levesa vesev hu. We mentioned this a number of times in various sikhas and whatever. The Jews are called two names generally in Chumash. We have the 12 Shvatim, and here the Torah calls them Mata. Okay, each is the Mata. Huh? No, I'm saying Mata and Shevet. Shevet Reuven, Shevet Shimon, right? And then the Torah calls them Mata, Reuven, Mata, Shimon, right? The Mata, Reuven. Okay, then it goes into the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
No. Why are they called Mata and why are they called Shevet? So it's very interesting. In Hebrew, Shevet and Mata also have a very similar meaning. Both are sticks. Remember at the end of Pekudei, we learn Kol Asher Yaver Tachas HaShevet or Asir Yir Kedush Toshem. How do they count the tithing of the animals? They march single file, the tenth animal you hit with the colored stick. Over there, the Torah calls it Shevet. Mata is a staff, a walking staff. Right? The Mata, Meshe Rabbeinu had, was the Mata. Shem said to Meshe Rabbeinu, many times, Kachas a Mata. What's the difference? So it's interesting. Mata and Shevet are both sticks. And the Jews are called Shvatim, Shevet, and Mata. What's the difference, though, in Lashon Kodesh? I don't know in Ivrit, I don't know. But in Lashon Kodesh, the difference between Shevet and Mata is Shevet is a moist stick and Mata is a hard staff. Yeah. That's what you're in Lashon Kodesh. Mata is a hard staff and Shevet is a softer type of a stick. When the Torah speaks about Mata, the Torah is speaking about a Jew having to be very tough and strong, like a Mata. Therefore, when counting the tribes, the Torah calls them Mata, because over there, when the Jews are going to war, they need to be strong. Other times they're called the 12 Shvatim. Yeah, it could be soft sometimes. It depends. Sometimes you could be soft, sometimes you need to be hard. And that's why the Jews are called both names. Sometimes the Jews need to be soft, and sometimes they need to be hard. Here, when we're counting the Jews to know how many people go to war, the Torah says a Mata, because it has to be hard. It's a dried stick that's like a walking stick, which is not bendable. It's tough. Okay, so therefore it says, Ishish the Mata. What?
We're just saying it's like the Sabra.
Like the Sabra? The Israelis, you mean the Sabras?
Well,
huh?
Not a Jew.
It's something inside and hard.
Whatever.
No, but it's interesting. It says in the Medrash, how did Moshe Rabbeinu count the Jews here? I mean, just practically speaking, every Jew came before Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, this is my name from this and this tribe. Rashi says, Rashi says later on in this pasuk, every Jew had to bring two witnesses to verify that they come from this tribe.
Wow.
That's what Rashi says. Rashi says in a few psukim, to say who the parents are. You have to prove who your parents were.
We should have put
I'm sure he did. No, but it says another thing. It said the Mefarshim say, why did Hashem do this? Hashem wanted every Jew to get a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu.
So
600,000.
The Mefarshim say.
One by one.
Yeah.
By Moshe.
One Sunday.
Only 600,000 is everybody, 3 million.
No, no, just 20 to 50, no. But it says in the Medrash that Hashem wanted every Jew to get a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. So when they came in front of Moshe and Aaron, they came to Moshe and Aaron, right? So when they came to Moshe and Aaron, so therefore the Hashem was able to, he gave him a bracha to each one.
And the next time we're going to be counted is going to be when Mashiach comes. He's not counting us now.
Huh?
I want to be elevated.
24 hours they count in you. But the real counting.
Moshe Rabbeinu gave every Jew a bracha in the counting. That's what Hashem also wanted. To bring every Jew to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Then it says like this. Ve'ele shmeisu anashim ashayamdu itchem. These are the names of the people that will be with you. These are poshet, the heads of the tribes. Every head of the tribe was there for their own tribe counting. For Reuven is Elitzur ben Shteir, Shimon and Shlumiel ben Sirishadai. The Yehuda was the famous Nachshon ben Aminadov. The Yisachar was Nisano ben Tzur, Luzun Aliyah ben Chelein. Elivnei Yosef. So Ephraim, Elishama ben Amiud. Menashe Gamliel ben Pedotzen. The Farshim say, why is Menashe after Ephraim? Because when Yaakov benched him in this week's Parsha, Ephraim went before Menashe. The Vinyamin, Avidam ben Gedeni, Ladan, so by the way, the Ebenezer writes, the way that Shvatim are counted here is not the way they were born. Because he says the way they were born was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. That's the order of their birth. So first the Torah goes through Leah's kids, then he goes through Yosef's, Rachel's kids, and then he goes to Bill and Zilpah's kids. So that's the order over here, the Psukim. You have Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Levi's B'chan are counted. Yisachar, Zvulun, these are all Leah's kids. Then it was Yosef's kids, Rachel's kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, Levinyam and Avida ben Gedeini, and the last four are Bill and Zilpah's kids. Done. It was Echiazer ben Amishadai, and Al-Oshe Pagiel ben Achon, and Lugad Al-Yosef ben Deul, and Naphtali Achida ben Enon. Okay, this is all the names of the tribes. So it says, Eile Kruye Ha'eda, these were the prominent people amongst the Jewish people, meaning, as Rashi explains, that whenever there was a meeting of the heads of the people that were there, Nesiei Matis Aveisam, the leaders of the father's tribes, Roshei Alpha Yisroelim, they were the heads of the thousands of the Jewish people. So basically, these were the heads. So Hashem wanted that they should be there when the Jews were counted. Moshe and Aaron counted. According to Rashi, that there were half shekels, that the people gave now half a shekel to be counted. So Rashi says Moshe Rabbeinu took everybody's half shekels, separated by the tribes, and then they were able to count how many half shekels were there per tribe. According to the Kli Yoker and others, that they didn't count with the half a shekel. It probably took some time to do, I imagine so. I mean, you have Jews that, you know, woke up late, they had to go to the mikveh, daven shachrus late, and then they...
40 years in the desert. 2 service
shari. Different minyanim they had.
6 o'clock,
7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I mean, you know. It was a time. Okay, now the Mephoshim ask another question. By this counting, Hashem told him to take Moshe. Told Moshe to take Aaron with you. But after the ego, Hashem didn't tell Moshe to take Aaron with him. Moshe Rabbeinu himself counted. So they explained because the Jew Aaron was involved in the ego. So therefore, after he counted the Jews by the ego, he didn't want Aaron to be part of the counting because he was like the problem of making the Jews die. But over here, it's all good. So he wanted Aaron to be with them. That's why he over here he took Aaron, and over there he didn't. Okay, they did it through the half a shekel, according to Rashi, and so on. Okay, we could just say the next pasuk. Ve'yikach Moshe v'Aaron eson Hashem ha'ela asher nikvu b'shemes. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron took all these people that were called with these names. In other words, the names of the heads of the tribes that we just said. Ve'ez kol ha'ido ha'ikilu, they gathered the whole community together. Ve'echad l'chedesh ha'sheni, on the first day of the month of Iyar. Ve'yisyaldo ha'mishpachesam. And like we said, they brought the Sefer Yuchsin. They brought the, they established a genealogy according to their families. But Mispa Shem is based on the names. Mi ben Esrim Shon of Amal El Gulesam. Kasher Tziva Hashem Esmeshev Yifkedim in Midbar Sinai. As Hashem commanded them, and he counted them in Midbar Sinai. Okay, to be continued.